Good morning. Welcome. I trust you brought your Bibles with you, either in printed form or in digital form. I encourage you to open your Bible with me to Daniel chapter 5. That's where we'll be spending our time in this message. This message for Memorial Day, which I've entitled Freedom is Never Free. Memorial Day is a special American holiday. Each year we pause and remember those who laid down their lives for the freedom we enjoy, expressing what the Lord referred to as greater love. Shortly after the attack on Pearl Harbor, President Franklin Roosevelt said, "Those who long enjoy such privileges that we enjoy forget in time that others have died to win them." Freedom is never free. It's almost always bought with the blood of patriots. The biggest battle Americans are waging today is a fight for the soul of our nation. It's manifested in many ways every day. History shows that erosion of a culture is usually a slow process, but we've seen it accelerate over just the past several years. We have today what we tolerated yesterday, and we will have tomorrow what we tolerate today. History has a way of repeating itself down through the centuries, again and again. In his day, the prophet Daniel saw much of what we're seeing today in the Babylonian culture. The Babylonians were arrogant, and they felt secure within the protection of their incredibly strong walls. But the empire ultimately crumbled from within. And the fifth chapter of Daniel records its collapse. On this Memorial Day, we need to be challenged to repentance and to acknowledge that, quote, all is in vain unless the Holy Spirit guides us. I'd like you to consider with me for a few moments this morning the four mistakes Babylon made. First, they lost all sense of remembrance. Daniel chapter 5. If you've gotten to that chapter with me in Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5 verses 18 to 23 read like this. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men. and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know, and the God who holds your breath in his hands and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Did you hear that? God rules in the kingdom of men, but you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. Belshazzar's problem was the same as many today. The king of Babylon forgot some valuable lessons from the past. His predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, learned about pride the hard way. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37, just before our chapter. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whom whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. Nebuchadnezzar learned all that the hard way by demonstrating his pride and having to be judged by God. Pride is often the path to destruction. Belshazzar was there boasting about himself. He picked up right where King Nebuchadnezzar left off in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Pride is right up there at the top of the list of things God hates. Just ask Adam and Eve. Just ask King David. Just ask Simon Peter. America once honored God openly. The truth of this is etched on monuments all over our nation's capital. It's carved on many government buildings. It's even still printed on our money. We once credited the Lord with our blessings and our successes, and turn to him in times of difficulty and loss. Sadly, like Babylon, it's clear we seem to have lost that remembrance. In some ways, we have forgotten our past. America was settled by men and women who came here primarily looking for God, not economic success. They came searching for a home where Jesus could be exalted and worshiped in spirit, freedom, and truth. And this is clear. This is clear by the charters of the original 13 colonies. For example, Rhode Island was chartered in 1683 with the following words inscribed in her charter. Quote, we submit our persons, our lives, and our estates unto our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to all those perfect and absolute laws given us in his holy word. Maryland's charter, our own state, Maryland's charter reads that they were, quote, formed by a pious zeal to extend the Christian gospel. Delaware, not to be outdone, wrote that they were, quote, formed for the further propagation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Connecticut expressed in their charter that their colony's purpose was, quote, to preserve the purity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, every so many years there's talk of Washington, D.C., one gaining statehood-like status, being able to vote and everything. You know, I wonder how different that charter might read. Unfortunately, there are similarities between ancient Babylon and modern America. And it is a high price to pay when a nation loses remembrance of who they are and where they came from. Second, they lost all sense of reality. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. Listen, just understand this. Outside the walls of Babylon, just to get the right perspective here, outside the walls of Babylon, the Medes and the Persians were encamped besieging the city, all the way around the city. But inside, Belshazzar was partying. What an amazing presumption on his part, on their part. They thought that because of their history of dominance and their strong walls, they were invincible and indestructible. Those walls stretched 60 miles around the city. Any direction that they looked along the top of the wall, they saw the enemy surrounding the city. But no problem. The walls were so high and so thick, it was impossible to penetrate. And besides, they had a 20-year supply of rations. They were good. Belshazzar lost all sense of reality. He threw a party and invited thousands of guests. And parties of those ancient pagan cultures were drunken orgies, usually. His city was impregnable, so he partied while destruction was at the door. Listen, it's when we feel most secure in our own strength that danger is often imminent and near. With Cyrus's armies encircling the city, Belshazzar thought he could party his troubles away. Listen, many today think that just because they got away with it before, they will again. The king was too blind and drunk on his own success to realize that the strength of a kingdom or the strength of an individual is never on the outside, but on the inside. Babylon soon fell because they had become corrupt on the inside with no more sense of remembrance or reality. In America, we often think our walls are impregnable. Many think that God needs America to carry out his plan on earth. After all, we won all the world wars. The Cold War is over and we seem to be the real only superpower still standing in the world today. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 warns Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Remember, the judgment of God came to Judah, and she was called the apple of his eye. There was a time when Israel was the world's only superpower. She was one nation under God. King David and King Solomon took her to superpower status. God gave her a land, a law, and the Lord. 3,000 years after King David, God birthed another nation, America. He gave us a land and a law based on Israel's ancient commandments. But how can we think we're invincible if we lose our sense of remembrance and reality? God said of Babylon in verse 26 of Daniel 5, "You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting." It's time for us to remember who we are and where we came from. It's time for us to recognize the reality of what is taking place around us and pray, "God, forgive us and bless America again." And then third, they lost all sense of restraint. Daniel chapter 5, verse 2. "There, while he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them." When a nation or an individual loses sense of remembrance and reality, it follows that they lose restraint also. And the Babylonians were too blind to see any correlation between moral decay and national decline. Does that sound familiar? Our nation, just like Babylon, has been essentially given over to sexual permissiveness and perversions of all types that can even be thought of. In his book, "Our Dance Has Turned to Death," Carl Wilson chronicles the pattern of decline in the Greco-Roman culture. He observed several things. First, men began to cease to lead their own families in spiritual or moral development. Next, they neglected their wives and their children in pursuit of material wealth and power. That was followed by men so preoccupied with business and business ventures that they began to ignore their wives and become involved with other women outside the home. Wives also began to seek their worth and value outside the home. And then, with male and female role models no longer prominent in the home, the children developed identity problems of their own. And then finally, it left many children unwanted and, for the most part, undisciplined. Although 2,000 years ago, that describes the culture we know all too well today. in America today. Belshazzar and the Babylonians lost all sense of restraint, not just morally, but also spiritually. They took the holy vessels of the temple and desecrated them for their own godless satisfaction. Listen, God is still serious about desecrating what he calls holy. I believe God is weighing America on his balance, and we will be found wanting. It seems clear that we have lost all sense of restraint. And when that happens, we become blind to the fact that our problems are not primarily political, economic, or social. The decline of any nation is rooted in the spiritual. All the other issues are simply systematic. And then fourth, they lost all sense of respect. Daniel chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. Nothing was sacred to them anymore. They abandoned all absolutes, which led to no restraints, which further brought them to the place of no respect for anything sacred. It was simply party time in Babylon. And then an amazing thing happened. Look at verses 5 through 12. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. Then look at verse 10. The queen, because the words of the king and his lords came to the banquet hall, the queen spoke, saying, "O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There was a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation." Into the party hall came Daniel. He was not at the party, apparently not invited. He looked around the scene. The shouting and drinking and sex had come to a stop. A strange silence filled the banquet hall. People looked as if they were frozen in time. The holy vessels were scattered around the tables. Daniel was the only one in that room who was calm. Then he did what every preacher should do. He took the word that came from God and without fear revealed it to them, what God had said. This is the preacher's responsibility then and to this very day. Look at verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing of to the king and make known to him the interpretation." And then Daniel revealed the handwriting on the wall, "Many, many, tekel, apharsin." Look at verse 23, down to verse 29. "And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven." In verse 24, "Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the inscription that was written, 'Many, many, tekel, apharsin.' This is the interpretation of each word, 'many.' God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez or apharsin, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." And then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Listen, the word picture here is of a scale with God's standard on one side and you on the other. But you're too light. You don't measure up to balance things. God's standard is the law. None of us can be measured on this scale and not be found wanting unless we're viewed through the righteous blood of Jesus Christ. Imagine that the scene that night in Babylon. The room was a scene of fright and terror. But there was one figure who stood in perfect peace. There was no fear on his face or concern in his heart. You know why? Because he knew. Daniel knew the one who wrote on the wall. The day of judgment has no fear for those like Daniel who know the living God. Well, let me ask a question here today, this morning, whether here, outside, online, do you know the living God? Do you know the one who wrote 3,000 years ago on that wall? Because you see, every last one of us have come through the same way. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the Apostle Paul says in Romans. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. God has given eternal life by Jesus Christ. And why would he do that? Because he loves us. Because he loves this world and those who he's made his image bearers. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And how did he demonstrate that love? Well, he demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still in our sin, Jesus Christ died for us. And if we confess with our mouth, if we demonstrate that we believe and we put our trust in Jesus Christ, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know the living God? Do you know the one who wrote on that wall in Babylon those 3,000 years ago? Daniel did. Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Is your faith in him for eternal life? Have you gained his forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ by faith? Look at what happened there in those next couple of verses in Daniel 5, verses 30 to 31. That very night, that party, that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. While Babylon partied with no sense of restraint or remembrance, the armies of the Medes and the Persians diverted the Euphrates River into swampland, and the Persian army marched into the city under the wall through the dry riverbed, and they took the city. Listen, God's judgment is sure. There are no walls high enough or thick enough to prevent a man or a nation from falling when God writes many tekel apharsin on the wall. Who really knows how close we are to that word, many? Our time is up. Our number is up. Who knows how close we are to tekel, weighed in the balance and found wanting? Who knows how close we are to apharsin, the nation divided and separated from us? Few nations have had a history like America. For over 200 years, we have been a shining light to the world and have been a launch pad to take the gospel literally to the ends of the earth. We often hear people say that God is our only hope. But he might now be our biggest threat. What is there about America that God should offer us further special favor in our sin? Favor that neither Babylon nor even ancient Israel was given. There is a last night for every nation and every individual. America has had some proud moments, but none finer than that foggy morning of June 6th, 1944. Those American boys approached the French coast at low tide. In wave after wave, they stormed the beaches of Normandy. Within 1 month, over 1 million Allied troops had filled Europe and brought an end to the diabolical and murderous grip of Hitler's Germany. But if you think about it, that was not the original D-Day. Author Max Lucado wrote, God established his own beachhead in Bethlehem. He triumphed over the strongest enemy. He used a woman, a baby, and a Bethlehem feeding trough. Jesus Christ is our real hope. On this Memorial Day, as we remember those who gave so much for the freedom we enjoy today, we need to be reminded of the words of Daniel chapter 4 in verse 32, that the Most High rules in the affairs of men. May we know, may we bow our hearts and our knees before Him. And may God bless America. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of your servant Daniel as he stood before the king in all of his wretched sinfulness. And Father, may we be like Daniel to stand and speak to the ungodliness of our own nation these 3,000 years later. And Father, may we realize that the handwriting on the wall of Babylon could just as easily be on the wall of America. That one day, the last night will fall on this nation as it is today. And the last night will fall on each one of us. Father, may we have our hope not in the strength and might of America as a superpower, but may we gain our strength and our hope in Jesus Christ, a hope for eternal life. Father, I just pray that you would do business with each one of us, those of us here, those of us online, for your praise, for your glory. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.